Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Technisha on The Bright Side with Technisha. I hope you're having a wonderful and blessed day. Today, I have a special guest named John McGrell, who is a renowned hypnotherapist, personal success coach, a spiritual teacher, and a leading media expert on the topic of personal improvement. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, Technisha. How are you?
I'm blessed, and I'm glad that you took out the opportunity to be on my show today.
Well, thank you. It's delightful to be here. I really appreciate it. How's the weather back there in Atlanta?
Well, it's great. We did have a snowstorm, but that kind of worked out a little bit for us. I think it paralyzed the city for a while, but I'm glad that it's over. I worked Tuesday, and then I called off Wednesday because I was like, I'm not getting stuck in the snow. So I think it just helps the people. Instead of listening to the government, waiting on responses from them, we just have to make our own decisions, whether to go out or not go out. So.
Yeah, well, the pictures look pretty scary from back here in California.
I know. Everybody said they seen the weather. Everybody was calling me and texting me. They was like, are you okay? I'm like, yes. I got stuck the Tuesday night it started, and I got stuck like three times, and it was awful. I said, you know what? I'm calling off Wednesday. I'm not going in to get stuck again.
There you go. Well, it's great to be here. I'm glad you're all okay, and it's a beautiful Sunday out here in L.A. as well.
Thank you, John. Now, John, you have published your own book called The Synthesis Effect, Your Direct Path to Personal Power and Transformation. But the question is here, what is synthesis?
Well, in essence, what I do is help people create change in their life when it's difficult for them. And, you know, for most people, because of the way the human mind works and the way it's evolved, it's very hard to make changes. Even when you want to do it and you know the change would be good for you, like getting over a limiting belief or building self-confidence or losing weight or you know, stopping a habit that you don't like or isn't healthy for you, like smoking, all of these sort of behavioral patterns get so automatic, it becomes very difficult to overcome them. And what I do, both in my clinical practice and in my workshops and what the book is all about, is help people make those changes and make them stick so that they can live the life they want to rather than the life they think they're stuck in. And the synthesis is just the name of the process that I use to help make that happen quickly and profoundly. And for most people, once they get the right help and they get the tools, it does happen very quickly. So it's basically about transforming your life, and we synthesize a better, more powerful, happier you.
Because I was reading throughout your book, mostly like when we're thinking that we're bipolar or ADHD, that is what you're trying to transform to get out that mindset that the doctor has prescribed me to be this way, and I'm not actually this way. Let me get on this medication to cure myself.
Well, yes, and of course there are some conditions that are truly serious and truly do warrant medication. But the point that I was trying to make around that is that, you know, we tend to become our labels. In other words, you know, if we're diagnosed as, say, clinically depressed, well, what happens to people is they get so involved in it, it becomes their identity. I am depression. And all that does is perpetuate the situation. So if you want to change that, And I'm not saying that, you know, some people literally do need the medication to stay well, and there are all different levels of all these conditions. But I've worked with hundreds of people over the years, and through the process of using the tools and learning how to use their mind rather than sort of react to it, they literally have been able to get off depression medication and lead, you know, what we would call a normal, productive, happy life. So, yeah, we tend to identify with our conditions. You know, I'm obese, I'm addicted, I'm depressed. And it doesn't have to be that way. And that's really why I do what I do, is to just help people transcend those conditions, whatever they are, big or small. And mostly I work with the worried well of the world. There are some conditions that, you know, my process and my techniques really don't help. But most of them do. 85% of us just have stuff we'd like to change. It's hard for us to do it. And this process helps make that happen. And that's why I wrote the book, and the reviews have been amazing from the readers.
Was it schizophrenia was one of them that couldn't be changed?
Well, schizophrenia is a very, very serious condition. And, you know, hypnosis, which is one of the primary tools I use, and we can certainly talk about that if your listeners are interested, isn't very effective with people who suffer schizophrenia. In fact, it's one of the very few conditions that can do more harm than good. But almost everything else that you can think of, from pain management to getting over an unhealthy or unwanted habit or building self-esteem or letting go of limiting beliefs, like I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy of having good relationships, these are just beliefs. They're thought patterns that we think so many times they become automatic and they become unquestioned, which is really what a belief is, a thought that's become automatic and unquestioned, but it's only a thought. And while it's hard to change those thoughts, it is very doable. And the other thing that I like to add always is that every single person, and this is really important, every single person out there has what they need inside of them to do it. But most people need a little help. And again, that's just because of the way our minds work and the way the mind has evolved.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. How does synthesis really work, John?
Well, the reason I call it synthesis, if you look at the definition of that term in the dictionary, it is about bringing a variety of different ingredients. It's kind of like a recipe when, you know, you bake a cake. You put some sugar in, you put some flour, you put some milk, and you mix it all up, et cetera, and then throw it in the oven, and out comes the cake. So what comes out is different and bigger and stronger than the individual ingredients. And so essentially, the way synthesis works is that we take, and I developed this over many years working with thousands and thousands of clients in the clinic, we use the cognitive, conscious, logical mind, and there are models and tools based around that part of our mind, and we use tools, techniques, methods, and traditions that some are cutting-edge science and some are as old as humanity, hypnosis, meditation, and a variety of other tools to work with the subconscious part of the mind, and we bring all these, if you will, energies or ingredients or techniques together, that's how it promotes change quickly and profoundly. Most people, when they're trying to bring change into their life, use only the conscious part of the mind because that's the part we're used to. But most of our behavior, most of our emotions, our personalities, our values, our beliefs, really are resident in the subconscious part of the mind, which, as I'm sure everyone knows, works by itself. It works automatically. It's subconscious. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the subconscious mind is very much like a computer. When we're first born, when we're very little, there's not a lot going on. We have to be programmed just like a computer. And our programming takes place very early in life. By the time we're 8, we are pretty much set for the individuals we're going to be. And we are programmed through a process called association and identification, which is very simple. We begin to live. We begin to take in the suggestions of our and the experiences of our life. And when you do it, if you repeat them enough or if they're significant enough, they get hardwired into the brain, into the subconscious mind, and they become like little computer programs. And so when you put the right stimulus in, you get a response, a thought, an emotion, a behavior. And so synthesis takes that, and through these tools, we can literally talk to the subconscious mind, if you will, without the resistance that we normally feel, and essentially help it unlearn the patterns, the thought patterns, the values, the beliefs that it doesn't want, and reprogram the computer, essentially. And that's very simplistically how it works, and it is a very simple process. A lot of people think it's got to be difficult. You know, we're sort of brought up to think that if you don't suffer, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, no pain, no gain. It doesn't have to be that way at all. So it really works very powerfully and quickly, using the conscious, the subconscious, and a variety of very powerful, all-natural tools and techniques to create this enormous change in people. It's just miraculous to watch it happen.
It does sound like it. It sounds like almost like a mind game. You're tricking your mind into believing in a different way instead of believing, like you said, oh, I got this condition. And faith, to me, also plays a part in it, too, because I believe that you also have to have faith. Or we don't have to claim nothing. As long as we got faith, anything could be cured. John, also, is there a limit to what synthesis can be used for or applied to?
Well, excuse me. As we talked about a little bit earlier, Technisha, there are some conditions that require more powerful intervention and some that don't respond. But for the worried well of the world, which is what I call most of the people I work with, you know, the 85% of the population that just has stuff that they'd like to change, you know, they're addicted to cigarettes or they bite their nails or they have low self-esteem or they want to make more money or have better relationships and they don't know how to do it. And they keep attracting the same crummy relationships over and over again. And by the way, I agree with you. Faith plays a big role in this process because it is the essence of our spirit, and this is a very spiritually based technique. And again, there's a difference between religion and spirit, but your expectations, your faith in outcomes has an enormous impact on how successful you are. So for the vast majority of people that just have stuff they want to get over or beliefs they want to get rid of or whatever it is, yes, this works very, very well. There's very little that it won't work because, you know, our minds are very flexible. There's a phenomenon that's called neuroplasticity, which is a very big term for the ability of the human brain to rewire itself. And so sometimes when we have physical damage, for instance, I work with stroke patients, and after people have a stroke, very often there's this condition called dysphagia where they either can't talk or can't move. And not always, of course, but literally the human brain has the ability to bypass the damaged areas and rewire new circuits. And these people can regain movement. They can regain speech. And some can recover so completely that you never know they had a stroke. Well, in essence, the whole synthesis process uses that phenomenon called neuroplasticity. It's not really tricking the mind. It's having the mind, think of the subconscious mind as a three-year-old, and it never really gets much older. And, you know, any three-year-old would believe whatever you tell it. You know, if you say 2 + 2 = 5, honey, don't ever forget that. A three-year-old will say, okay, Santa Claus is coming, okay. And our subconscious mind works very much like that. It's very innocent, and it will believe whatever you tell it. Good or bad doesn't matter because it can't tell the difference. And so if it learns, say, a negative pattern, a negative belief, I'm not worthy, whatever, that there's no truth in that from a logical perspective, and most people know that. But once it's ingrained in the circuits of the brain, it'll just keep repeating over and over again. And essentially what we do is help the brain unwire those circuits and rewire new ones, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes plenty of sense. Everything that you have said up to this point makes plenty of sense. You have to, basically the whole thing, listeners, is you just have to stop claiming it. You got to quit making excuses. As you said in one of your chapters on smoking, oh, I can't quit. I'm addicted to nicotine. No. Some people can go cold turkey, and some might can't, but we have to just find the cause behind these emotions and these issues, as you said in your book.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, smoking's a great example. When you stop smoking, and I was an addicted smoker, so I remember what it was like, you feel as though you can't live without it because, and it's not the nicotine addiction so much as it's the emotional and behavioral addiction. You know, smoking is a very insidious habit. It weaves its way into every part of our lives, right? You know, so you get stressed, you light a cigarette. The phone rings, you light a cigarette. You start the car, you light a cigarette. I mean, it just becomes part of your routine, and it becomes so automatic and so emotionally grounded. That's what's difficult about quitting. When you quit smoking, in 3 to 4 days, there is no more nicotine in your body. It is done. And the withdrawal from that is really painless for most people. But the emotional triggers, they keep coming because life is still happening, and you're used to relying on this crutch, if you will, when you have a stressful moment, when you're talking on the phone, when you want to take a break during the day, whatever it is. I mean, there's a million different reasons. And so that becomes automatic, and it becomes part of your unconscious programming. And, you know, another way to think about this, whether it's smoking or any other habit, is if you have a computer and you have a bad piece of software, the software company sends you an update. And when you put the update in or download it, nowadays everybody downloads it, you used to have to put a CD in, but now you just download the update. What happens is it takes off the old software and reprograms the computer with new software so it works better. That's kind of how this process works.
Okay. Now, your methods are based upon the presupposition that we create our own reality. Just what does that mean? Can you provide proof?
Well, yeah, actually I can, and it's all over the place. It's a very interesting point. You know, it feels, for most of us, it feels like life is happening to us. And generally speaking, because we get so ingrained in our behaviors, our emotions, our beliefs, good or bad, happy or sad, we tend to react to events, and it feels as if we're sort of victims. You know, oh, woe is me, I lost my job, and I'm not happy, and I have crummy relationships, etc. And what scientists are proving in a very interesting field, and it's called quantum physics, which is a branch of the science of physics that studies the nature of matter and energy. What scientists are proving, scientific proof now, there's no, this is not theory or conjecture because technology has come so far, is that the energy of our thoughts, for instance, have a direct effect on our environment. And essentially, you could think of a human being as an energy machine. You are the energy of consciousness. We live in this magnificent apparatus we call our body. And the process of living, in essence, is nothing more than an energy exchange. You take energy in a variety of ways. You see, you touch, you taste, you smell, you eat food, you drink water. Energy goes out. You think, you move, you act. And so this energy exchange takes place on a multitude of levels, and the product of all of that is an energy we call thought. And thoughts create an energy we call feelings. And our feelings, of course, are the instantaneous expressions of what we call human emotion. And so it's like an equation, if you will. In fact, I actually diagram it, and there's a diagram in the book that describes how this works. But our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, if you think them enough times, become our beliefs. And our beliefs, again, are nothing more than thoughts that we think so many times they become automatic and unquestioned. They frame our perception of truth. And the reason I say perception is because what we perceive as true may or may not, in fact, be factual. But what you perceive as true creates the energy of your reality. And once the energy of your reality is in place, whatever that is, it just keeps going back through the loop. And there are just enormous studies. One author that I would recommend to anybody that's interested in this to read about the science behind the fact that we create our reality is a friend of mine, Lynn McTaggart is her name, and she wrote a great book called The Field. And basically she's a journalist that went out and found the science behind, you know, what would be considered New Age woo-woo in the past. She's actually found the scientific experiments and the scientists who are doing these experiments that are proving that the power of our thoughts literally create our reality. And a great example, because this sounds really, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it because it sounds so opposite to the way we think and feel. But just think about this. 6,000 years ago, give or take, almost every person on this planet believed, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the Earth was flat. And that was their truth. And that truth framed a very limiting reality. They were afraid to go out to sea because they'd fall off the edge of the earth and get eaten by the monsters and all of that. And now, of course, today we have scientific proof that the earth isn't flat at all. We know it's round. It's a ball. We can see it from outer space. And we're living a much more expanded reality because of that. But the beliefs that we have are what create that reality. And so once a person realizes that whether or not they're feeling good or bad or happy or sad, they realize that they are, in fact, the creator of that reality. That gives them the empowerment to change it. And that's really where we start. You have to have, instead of saying, I'm at the effect of the events in the environment and I have no control over it, you have to say, it's my responsibility my life is my life. It's my responsibility to make it work the way I want to. That's what we call being at cause rather than being at effect. And once you start that, once we change these thought patterns, once we create new beliefs and we build some energy behind flipping that equation from the negative side to the positive side, you start manifesting different results. And it's amazing how good you can get at this. It's really cool.
It sounds awesome. I love it all. I love it already.
And it's simple. That's the beauty of it. It really is.
Yeah. It's very simple. It's all just transforming your mind into a new thinking pattern. And that's what we have to do. Take the negative and make it positive.
Well, essentially right. And it seems hard to do, but with the right tools and the understanding, which is what this is all about, it's suddenly not hard at all.
So, John, what's new about your method that hasn't been seen before?
Well, you know, Technisha, I say this freely in the beginning of the book, and I don't want to turn anybody off because I'm really hoping, of course, that people want to go out and check this out, and at the very least just look it up on Amazon and read the reviews, and then they can make their own decision whether it's worth 10 or 11 bucks to buy it. But I don't do these interviews and spread this word for the money. I just really enjoy watching people empower themselves. And I say very freely that there really is nothing new in this book, because human beings have been behaving the same way for hundreds of thousands of years. But I think, as far as what I put in the book, I think what's made the difference, and I think what has opened so many people's eyes, what's most gratifying about this for me is that, you know, when you write a book, obviously you have intentions. You want it to accomplish something. And, you know, it was my hope that I could take what I've been doing in my clinical practice, in my workshops and seminars, and give it to the world, really, and show them, create an understanding of as to how and why they are the way they are, give them the tools that they can use to change those patterns that they don't like, and then a method to use the tools. So I think what's different, and I'm so gratified that apparently I got it right according to the readers, because the proof is in the pudding. It's the people who read the book. And the reviews, I'm getting emails every day from all over the world that, you know, people say, I've been reading self-help books all my life. I never got it till now. Thank you so much. And that I can't tell you what that means to me. So I think what's different and what's made the difference is that somehow I figured out how to present this stuff in a way that's understandable. It's not preachy. I'm not some guru. I'm just a regular person like everybody else. I have my own stuff. And there was a period of my life, and I talk about it in the book, where I was a pretty unhappy camper. I was an addicted smoker. I had a bad marriage. I wasn't as successful as I wanted to be in my career. And I was pretty miserable, very intense and insecure. And I went through a whole transition, a whole transformation. I call it rediscovering yourself, because none of us are born that way. And so I think what's different is that I figured out a way to present it to people that's not preachy. It's entertaining. The book is fun to read. And while we're talking about some very technical stuff, it's easy to understand. And the way it's set up is that you start using the concepts and the tools right away. First page, pretty much, I'm starting to present the techniques and you use them. And along the way, I shared stories of real people, just like you and me, with real issues, just like the folks that are reading the book, and how they got through it and how they transformed themselves. So there's encouragement along the way, and I think that's what makes the book different. It's just the way it's presented, and you know, I put a lot of work into it, so I don't want to say it was an accident, but I'm very, very gratified that it's had the effect it's had, because it seems to really be helping, you know, thousands of people. It's just been published in China and in Malaysia, two new foreign editions, and so far the feedback from Asia has been fantastic too.
Okay. Well, John, you mentioned the need for being at cause rather than at effect in order to empower your life. What does that mean?
Well, again, just going back to what we talked about a little bit before, hang on for just a second.
Tend to, because of the way life feels, we tend to feel as if life is happening to us. And when you start understanding that good or bad, happy or sad, whether you like it or not, you are literally creating your own reality, and that you have the power to change that reality, you are no longer being what we call at effect. In other words, you're not like a human ping pong ball that's just getting batted around. You're saying, I'm going to take control of my life. I am going to be the cause of my happiness, my empowerment, my health, my wellness, my good relationships, my greater success at work, making more money, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, because behavior is behavior is behavior. It's all created by the same process. And so it's a simple process to create new behaviors or attitudes or thought patterns. That is what we call being at cause, taking charge, taking responsibility, not waiting for someone else to hit you on the head and make it magic, because it doesn't work like that. And, you know, another thing is people will say, just give me what I want and then I'll be, just give me my stuff, give me my money, give me my love, give me my success, and then I'll be a happy person. It doesn't work that way. It's got to start from inside and go out so that you can attract it back through the laws of energy, which are attractive. Energy flows along lines of attraction. Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, use that principle with these tools to change the dynamic of our energy so that we attract what we want rather than what we think we're stuck with. That is called being at cause.
So, now, why is your book and your process any different? What makes it special?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question, Technisha?
Yes, sir. I was asking, why is your book and your process different? What makes it special?
Well, I think it's different. I've read many, many, many books on self-improvement and self-development over the years, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have too. I mean, it's one of the biggest genres of literature, nonfiction literature. And again, so many of these books say, well, you know, if you do this and you do this and you do this, and they're sort of preachy. It's like, you know, there's some guru saying, I know more than you. And I think what makes mine different is that I the way it's written, because I'm just a normal person like everybody else, and I learned some things and figured out some techniques, and it's just like you and I have in this chat right now. You know, we're just talking about stuff that I know sounds very complicated, but I think what makes this book different is that I simplify it and I make it understandable. You know, there's that old saying, knowledge is power. We've heard that a million times. Well, that's part of it. When you make knowledge understandable, when someone understands how and why they got stuck, how and why they ended up having low self-confidence, because, you know, most people don't. I get a client in the clinic, and they'll come in and they'll say, you know, I just don't feel worthy I don't feel like I deserve to be happy. I don't feel worthy. And I'll say, well, how long have you been suffering from that? And they say, well, as long as I can remember. And I'll say, well, when did that start? Because nobody's born that way. You have to learn that. And they'll go, I have no idea. It's just the way I feel. And it's the way I've always felt. So you have to create understanding. And once a person understands that it's not their fault, even though they're creating their own reality, they didn't do it on purpose, but they understand how it happened. And then you say, okay, now that you understand how it happened and how your mind is functioning and it's kind of, you know, taken over, here are some tools that you can use, like a hammer, a screwdriver, a saw, just tools that you can use to change the way your mind is working. And here's a method, a set of directions to use the tools. And so, and by the way, here's a bunch of other people that did the same thing you're doing. Read their stories so that you can, you know, you can, and if you want to learn more, there's a whole appendix at the end of the book where I provide resources for people who want to study more about the different techniques and tools in the history. Like, as I mentioned, Lynn McTaggart's book is a great book, and many others that I've studied. And so I guess if anything makes it different is that it makes it understandable, it makes it real, and the book is written so it's not coming from some preachy person. I'm just having a chat, just like you and I are having a chat. Hey, look, folks, here's the deal. You know, I'm not special. I just learned this stuff, and I'm sharing it with you. And if you use it and you're consistent, because it does take consistency, it's not magic, you can be amazed at how quickly your life will change and how fast you can actually acquire what it is you want. And so I guess, you know, that's a long-winded answer of what is a very simple question, but it's a hard question to answer. And again, the proof's in the pudding. The readers keep saying over and over again, wow, thank you so much. I get it now, and my life is changing because I understand, and you gave me something I can do, that I can really do. So
yeah.
I guess that would be my best shot at that.
And I did like throughout the book at the end you had the summary, almost like a textbook, okay, this is what I'm summarizing, so I can break it down to if you quite understand it throughout the chapter. And as we go back again, listeners, you can't believe everything that you read, because sometimes the media has a lot of impact on what we believe to be true. And the reality is that what you daily read and hear, it does have effect on your mind. We have to just, like you said, John, we've got to get out that mindset. And that's why John is here. He wants to transform you and get you out that mindset. That's what this show is all about, being motivated and keeping you at a positive state. But, John, can anyone, like, benefit from this? And how long does it normally take?
Well, two answers to those questions. Yes, virtually anyone. And that's what's so very, very important. It seems sometimes, and I get so many people, and again, this whole book is based on working with thousands and thousands of people who finally said, you know what, I am tired of feeling this way. I am tired of this thing holding me down. I'm going to get some help. And with the right help, anybody virtually can change their circumstances. They can change the way they feel. They can change the way their body works. Anybody can do it. Now, as far as how long it takes, I mean, it's really different because everyone responds literally at their own pace. You know, no one mind is the same as another. I could say that most people, if they have the basic requirements, this is what you need. And by the way, I'm not transforming my readers or my clients. They are transforming themselves. I'm just helping. I facilitate it a little bit, which is what most of us need, as I mentioned before. I can't say that enough. Most folks, to make these changes, need a little help. Doesn't matter. It's not because you're weak. It's not because you're less than or unworthy. It's just because of the way the human mind has evolved. So to answer the second question as best I can, for most folks, the changes begin quickly and profoundly. Some people get it right away, and it feels magical because it happens so quickly. Some people take a little bit more time. But once you're in the process, if you truly want to change your life and you're willing to commit to yourself, it's not a commitment to me or my book or anybody, it's a commitment to yourself. And if you can just say, okay, I'm tired of the way things are, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make things the way I want them, and here's a set of tools, it can happen very, very quickly. Now, some issues are going to take more time to completely resolve than others. And one that comes to mind, because I see this a lot, is losing weight. So many people want to lose that 10 or 20 pounds and sometimes a lot more. You can only lose weight at a certain pace if you're going to keep it off. But the process for instance, the synthesis process, once you get into the process, you become so compelled to make good choices about what you put into your body and how you move it, which is the only way anybody loses weight. Once you're doing the process, the weight just comes off. But now it's a whole new mindset and a new lifestyle that feels good, and that as you do it, gets more and more attractive and more compelling, and pretty soon you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, wow, I just lost 30 pounds. How about that? And it wasn't really the weight loss. It was the way I started living my life. And so the process can happen almost instantly. The results may take some time depending on what it is we're trying to change. But for most things, believe it or not, it's very quick.
Yeah. We just have to be, you just have to be on guard of your conscious state of mind. Because, like I said, we got just so much. And it's all up here. It's all in the mind. That's basically, and I agree with you, John, every step of the way that we have been discussing, it's all in the mind. We just have to be more aware of it, and we just have to take that change on our own life. John,
right.
I want to really ask you, what is practical enlightenment? Can anyone really achieve such a state?
Well, practical enlightenment is a very interesting concept, and I don't know if anybody else has ever called it this. This is my term. But I've studied, and I love to study philosophy and science and spirituality and different religions theology. And I've just always been very interested in that. And one of the best definitions of enlightenment that I've ever come across, because it's so simple and so profound, was from the Buddha. And the Buddha said that enlightenment is the end of suffering. So if you can get to a place where you're not suffering, you have become enlightened. And, of course, we suffer a lot in modern society, and there's a lot of reasons for that we could go into. But practical enlightenment is essentially, if you use this process that I call synthesis, and again, it's just a term, but if you, and you're right, everything is in the mind. Everything that happens to us has to go through our mind. So once we learn how to make our mind work the way we want it to, and once we relearn how to love, honor, and respect ourselves, and once we get this process going, if you're consistent, and that's key, you have to be consistent. It's not like you get tapped on the head with a magic wand and suddenly everything's different and you never have to do anything again. If you're consistent with the process and you practice, what happens is that you begin to attract more and more positive things into your life, and you begin to find that you are suffering less and less. Now, because we're human and because it's the very nature of taking human form, if you will, I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. You know, there are only so many Buddhas or Jesus or you know, the great masters of the world that really were, almost we could say, a divinity on earth, especially Jesus. We're not going to get there. But you can get to a place where there's virtually no suffering going on. And life is working really, really, really well. And when you get to that state, and it doesn't take very long, that's why I call it practical enlightenment, because anybody, and I want to underline that word, anybody can achieve it if they just do the process and get good at it and then stay consistent with it. And it's not hard. That's the coolest thing. It's just like the way I like to think about it is, if you take you're up on top of a snowy hill, and since everybody in Atlanta just had snow, they may not want to hear this, but as the snow gets warm, it gets sticky and warm, and you take a snowball and you push it over the hill, and it starts to roll down the hill. And the snow is wet and sticky, and the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as it does, it gets more and more powerful, and it gets harder and harder to stop. And pretty soon it's got so much energy and mass and power that it's going to go down the hill and it's going to run over anything in its way. That's how this process can get. And it is literally possible to get to a place where you're living your life virtually free of suffering. You're more physically healthy. You feel good emotionally. Your spiritual energy is back where it needs to be, and we don't give our spiritual energy near enough attention in our society. We've just forgotten how to do it over the years. But when those three energies get balanced and integrated, it is amazing how good life can become, and that's what I call practical enlightenment, learning to live virtually free of suffering. It's very cool.
Yep. Because I know it's all a brain thing. What part of the brain really actually controls all this thinking pattern?
Well, the easiest way to think about this, if you think, I mean, the brain is the processing unit of the mind. And, you know, we're still trying to understand the concept of the mind. But essentially what we know is that you can think of the mind or the brain, if that's easier to, I mean, whatever is more comfortable for people. But we have the conscious part of the mind and the subconscious part of the mind. And the conscious part of the mind is only about 10% of the total capacity of the mind. An easy way to think about this, most people are familiar with jet planes, for instance, modern airliners. We have two guys up in the front, usually. Now it's only two, it used to be three, when I was a pilot way back when, but there are two pilots, and then the jet has this computer called the autopilot, which does most of the work most of the time. Now, the pilots are the conscious mind, and the autopilot is the subconscious computer. That's kind of how the human mind works. The pilots can make the plane go wherever they want it to go. But eventually, because we're people, like say, let's just say you had to go from Atlanta all the way to Hawaii and never stop, nonstop flight from Atlanta to Honolulu, which I think they can probably do now. So the pilots take off. Now, if they tried to fly the plane themselves all the way to Honolulu, they'd get tired, and they'd likely make a mistake and maybe get off course, and who knows what could happen. But this autopilot, this computer, they push a button, and it works automatically, and it flies the plane to Honolulu, and then the pilots land it. That's kind of how the human mind works. 10% of our mind is what we would call the conscious mind, the pilot. 90% of our mind is the unconscious or subconscious autopilot. And if people are honest with themselves, most of the time they'll realize they're on autopilot. We don't really think too much about what we're thinking or how we're behaving or reacting to things. We just do. Something happens and we respond automatically. Someone calls you a dirty rat, you automatically feel bad, or you automatically get angry, or you automatically call him or her something back. You don't think, it just happens. That's the autopilot working, and that's how we behave most of the time. And so literally what we do with this process is reprogram that autopilot so it's working better, and we align the subconscious part of the mind with the conscious part of the mind. And so instead of sort of a tug of war with 90 guys pulling one way and 10 guys pulling the other way, which is how most of us feel, we know what we want, but we can't make it happen, and we keep falling back into our old patterns. That's that tug of war. Instead of 90 pulling against 10, we have 100% of the mind going, if you will, in the same direction, aligned. And that's the easiest way to understand it, is to think of that computer model. If a computer doesn't have a database, if it's not programmed, it can't do anything. And our computer is programmed by the time we're 8 years old. We're pretty much programmed for the adults we're going to be. And once we're programmed, we'll play those programs over and over and over and over again, unless and until we change the programming. And once we do, the computer will work very nicely. It becomes every bit as automatic as it used to be. And again, using smoking, because that's one that a lot of people are familiar with. When I quit smoking 15 years ago, and when I first quit, those first few days and weeks, it was like, how am I going to live without this? It's become such a part of my life. Now, 15 years later, I can't imagine ever putting a cigarette in my mouth again. I mean, it's unconscionable to me. It's just, I can't imagine it. It's like, now I'm the same person, but I've got a different circuit now. My computer is working completely differently than it did 15 years ago. So that's another way to think about it. And it's as automatic for me not to smoke today as it was for me to smoke when I was smoking. So it's just literally changing the programming.
Okay. I get you right there, John. I really do.
Cool.
I like the fact that when you start off, life is supposed to be fun, because we do tend to forget that factor. It's not always about stress and being depressed. Oh, I got this bill to pay. I got this car note to take care of. You're supposed to enjoy life. What can you say for people who don't really believe that? Because sometimes it gets stressful where you get to the point, and I have gotten to the point where, oh, I don't have enough money for this. I can't enjoy the way I'm supposed to enjoy, or I feel that I can't do this because I don't have enough money. I don't want to always live in that state of mind.
Right. Well, this is a concept that some people have a little bit of trouble wrapping their head around, the concept of life is supposed to be fun. But it really is, and what I mean by that is that it's not going to be a 24-hour-a-day party, and you just, just indulge yourself in frivolous things. What I mean by that is that with desire and commitment and the right set of tools and guidance, there are stressful things in life. There's no question about it. Like I said before, you can never completely erase or eliminate negative things, but we are so wrapped around the negative in our society, in modern culture. I mean, look at, you turn on the news, they never say, okay, folks, we're going to tell you about all the bad stuff that's happening in the world, but before we tell you about all the bad stuff that's happening in the world, they never say, by the way, remember that most of the planet and most of the people on the planet right now are perfectly fine. We're just going to tell you about the bad stuff over and over and over again. And so, yeah, we get these programs. We get programmed to think, oh, my God, I can't. And it feels terrible. And money, of course, is one of the biggest things that we get hung up about. And what I mean by having life be fun is that when you get to a place where you like who you are, you like the way you're treating yourself, you like what you do for a living, or better yet, if you can, you love what you do for a living, and that's doable, and you start this pattern, the snowball down the hill of positive thinking, of knowing that I can create what I want, and I don't have it right now. This is really what takes practice. I know I don't have, let's use money, I don't have enough money right now. But the thing is, if you just keep focusing on what you don't have, all you do is perpetuate more of it, and so you get in this rut. And what you have to do to get out of it is not give any attention or as little as possible to what you don't have. You start focusing on only what you want. I want more money. I want more money. And I want to make it. I know I can do it. And that is an energy that creates momentum. Now, I know what reality is. Reality is I don't have enough. But I'm not going to give that any power. I'm just going to focus on what I want. And the more I do that, the more I'm creating this energy. And that guides your choices. And then you start making different choices. And as you make different choices, you start manifesting more things. And guess what? You can change your financial situation. And I have seen that over and over and over again. And I'm living proof of it. I've been in places where I've done really well, and I've been in places where I didn't know where I was going to be able to pay the rent. And I learned this the hard way. It comes back to that faith. I know what I want. That's all I'm going to focus on. And that is my thought pattern. I'm not going to give any power whatsoever to what's not going right as much as I can. And again, it's never perfect. That's how you change it. And it does change. And once you do that, you like the people you're relating to, you like your relationships, you like the way you're treating yourself. Life gets to be a very, very pleasant experience, and that's what I mean by life is supposed to be fun. And that's rule number one. And this whole process of synthesis, this book and everything I do, is to help people create that reality. And it is doable. I promise you, it's doable.
And it sounds like it is. Basically, you just have to take that mental and that spiritual understanding to carry you through. Because we feel that if we have money, that is supposed to be helpful, but money doesn't make anybody happy. We already can see that now, such as, for instance, I know they were talking about on the news about Kate and her husband, Prince. I always get them mixed up, Prince Charles or Prince Williams, whichever one.
Yeah.
That they can't go around spending their money like they're supposed to, and we think, oh, they're rich, they got this, they got that. Hey, they're going through hard times, too. They got to start calming down. They got to start going to more events and calm down on, I think it was the spending, but I know that they can go to certain events, but they just can't spend their money like they want to anymore, you know. So I do understand you, where you're coming from, and I'm glad that I have you on this show, because it gets really rough to keep it all together. And the more people, if you get the book, you will actually understand. You could change your whole negative aspect into a positive attitude, because that's what it's all about. We got to let go of that. Oh, I can't pay the bills. Okay, fine. We go through hardship, but we can't let that get us down. John, before we actually get off the air, I would love people to know your website and where they could purchase the book again at. I know that you said it before, but I would want to listen in now.
Okay, thank you, Technisha. Thank you so much, and you're so very right. It is very doable. My websites, I have three, actually, but the two that are probably most important, one is obviously www.drjohn, John McGrail, McGrail, one word, drjohnmcgrail.com. And my other website, for people who are more interested in the hypnotherapy part of it, because I do use that natural, powerful state of mind a lot, is www.hypnotherapy, all one word, hypnotherapy, Los Angeles, all one word, .com. hypnotherapylosangeles.com, drjohnmcgrail.com. And the book, The Synthesis Effect, it's had its first run in stores now, so it's hard to find it in bookstores anymore because they rotate them so quickly, but it's available on Amazon. It's available on barnesandnoble.com. And you can even buy it through my website, If you want to, you go to Dr. John McGrail or Hypnotherapy Los Angeles. The book is available. You can just click, and it's available in paperback and also for Nooks and Kindles. And I would like to say that I think if your listeners take a chance with this, like I said, just go to Amazon and read the reviews. That, those are from real people around the world who have read the book, and it's changed their lives. And if I can help one person after our conversation today, then you and I have done a great job. One person can empower their lives. But I promise you, folks, it is doable. It is absolutely doable. You got to give yourself a chance, and you got to have a little faith. But, you know, if what you're doing isn't working, then why not try something new?
Exactly. And as John said, as you have said in your final thoughts of the book, which I would love to read to the listeners, it's important to remind you that all of these techniques are effective. There is no right or wrong way to do this work. For instance, just because you are more visually oriented does not mean other techniques will not be effective or fun. Try them all, and again, feel free to play with it. Mix and match until you find the techniques and sequences that work best for you. After more than 30 years, John, of course, he used a variety of techniques to keep the process interesting. So, again, you just have to keep practicing at it. It's troublesome sometimes, but you'll get it. That's what it's all about. We're here to stay motivated. John kept us motivated, and I hope you take heed to it and purchase his book on Amazon before it sells out. And, John, once again, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, Technisha, thank you so very much for having me. You've been very kind and generous, and I wish all the folks down in Atlanta, I hope the snow and the ice goes away and it gets back to warm, which is the way it's supposed to be in Georgia. And if anybody wants to contact me, I am reachable through my website. I try to respond as much as I can personally to questions and comments, and I hope they take a look at it. And I just want to thank you again for having me on. It's been a delight.
Thank you, John, and thank you for caring about our weather. Well, I watched the news today. Supposedly we'll be getting spring with the groundhog.
Good. That's great. And enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thank you, John. You too.
Okay. You bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Pete! Okay.
name God's property. Getting big with Kirk, they don't stop me.
GP, are you with me?
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.